Right, 806 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. So the electric Gotcha scooters reported that they were not in, and by the way, I saw some people on the text line too doing the same thing I had done. Mm-hmm. In the 6 o'clock hour, I was reading the story and I said it had to be the Bankhead Tunnel.
No one would be crazy enough to take an electric scooter into the Wallace Tunnel.
Although the Bankhead Tunnel, I mean, with the the issues in there for the bouncing, anybody who's pulled a trailer through there, boat trailer or utility trailer, and watched everything bounce around back there, I realize it might go launching electric scooter. But this morning I said it must be the Bankhead Tunnel. I've gone back and looked at the reports from a couple different news groups out there, and they're saying it's the Wallace Tunnel.
And the question is, if it was the Wallace Tunnel, if scooters did indeed travel through there, did they cross the entire bridge? How far did they go? And I like what Marty said on the text line, that they probably dropped in from the fork.
Dropped in, which is the old skateboarding term.
Right.
I like that, Marty. They dropped in. They dropped in the half pipe that is the Wallace Tunnel. Yeah, I don't. The scooters, man. I can't wait for the electric scooter stories from Mardi Gras.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
What could go wrong during Mardi Gras with those electric scooters downtown? We'll talk about some scooters later on in the show. It is time to check in with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also, read his work in the Washington Examiner and the trilogy, the Matt Jones trilogy, available right now over at Amazon.com. Hey, Quinn.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year
to you.
Happy
New Year.
And Happy New Year to all listeners. Welcome to the year 2020, where everybody has perfect vision.
Right. How many times has that joke been made? Write it down. I do want to get started. I want to get this, let you get the thing that's bothering you most in world affairs off your chest first. And I think I'm just going to step back and let you and Dalton talk about the Saints' loss.
Mm-hmm. What was your take on that, Quinn?
Well, the Saints' offensive line played really poorly by their standards. In fact, the whole team in the second, third quarter was out to lunch. But they came back. They tied the game at 20. They made a couple of horrible plays. Vikings had a chance, but the Saints stopped them. And the NFL, once again, absolutely screwed up their pass interference system and their replay system. And it's been happening all year, and this isn't me, Saints fan, talking. It's when you listen to the on-field announcers, when you listen to the former referees, all of whom unanimously said, people that have worked two or three Super Bowls, people that were head of the entire league officiating, say that was clearly pass interference, should have been called. The Saints got rooked again, and I could go on. I am absolutely appalled at both the ineptness of the NFL and at what really does seem to be, whether it's, it's probably subconscious, but there is something that they don't like about the Saints, because I can show you, I've gone on replay, done slow-mo myself, and game after game after game, the Saints, of 90% of the time, are the recipients of the bad call. Disgusting.
Quinn, I was pulling for the Saints on Sunday, and my wallet was pulling for the Saints on Sunday. And I just, it just seems to me like every time the Saints lose, it's not the Saints' fault.
Bountygate
was 10 years ago.
The Saints did not play as well as they should, but the fact of the matter is, on that last play, which would have been key, because if they stop them, the Saints get the ball back and get a chance to score themselves. It was clearly, unambiguously, by rule, pass interference. It should have been reviewed, and it should have been overturned.
I think even if they'd reviewed it, they wouldn't have overturned it, because we've seen that happen all year. It's a rule that shouldn't have even been made.
And all year long, this idiot in the league office, Al Riveron, who, by the way, gets complained about again and again, has been protecting his referees rather than calling interference consistently. And his goal all year has been, one, to protect his referees on the field, and two, he doesn't like the replay rule on interference, and so he has been doing his darndest to make sure that it is used as little as he can possibly get away with, except, by the way, against the Saints. I can point to almost the only times all year that he has used it to overturn interference calls, to call interference when it wasn't called on the field. It went against the Saints, even though the balls were absolutely uncatchable. I mean, I could go on. It is absolutely absurd that the NFL can't figure this out.
I think Sean Payton is happiest that the fans think it's the ref's fault every time the Saints lose, because he makes some bad decisions. He made some more bad decisions on Sunday, and it just, to me, it comes off kind of
whiny.
He
made bad decisions. A bunch of people made bad plays. The score was tied, and then there was a pass interference, and it was a blatantly bad call. And whatever else you say, that's why the rule was implemented last year, was specifically for plays like that, and that's why Terry McCauley, John Perry, Mike Pereira, and all these other former officials said that should have been called.
So who are you pulling for the rest of the way? Or are you just done with the playoffs this year?
I'm done with the NFL and the playoffs until the Saints can start their free agent season.
All right.
Okay, let's pivot to something way less contentious here. As former National Security Advisor John Bolton said, he's prepared to testify if he's subpoenaed to appear in the Senate impeachment trial. And I know this is something that you were talking about on Twitter. Let's do this, because Mitch McConnell has accused Democrats of playing politics with withholding the articles of impeachment. He says he's not particularly interested in these witnesses. Here's Mitch McConnell.
In 1999, every single U.S. senator agreed to establish basic parameters for the start of the trial up front and reserve mid-trial questions such as witnesses until later. The vote was 100-0. That was good enough for President Clinton, so it ought to be good enough for President Trump.
Okay, so Mitch McConnell's saying that this was the standard set, and you're saying that Mitch McConnell's—I saw you on Twitter saying that he was just spewing, utter BS on the Senate floor.
But first of all, let me say John Bolton would have overturned that Saints call. There was a reason all 100 senators agreed to that in 1999. That is because the facts were no longer in dispute, and the only question was whether or not what Clinton did was worthy of removal from office. When you have no facts in dispute, and all senators agree on that, because you have had a multi-year investigation and a full report from an independent counsel, then if nobody, including the trial managers, including the prosecution, if nobody wants to call, knows going in that they want to call witnesses, well, yes, those are the rules that you agree to. But that's not precedential. What is precedential is the idea that this is indeed a trial. It's not a perfect criminal trial, but it is a trial, and you read Alexander Hamilton in the Federalist Papers, and he said the Senate is acting as a court, direct quote. And for Mitch McConnell to say that the unique circumstances of Clinton should be precedential when the circumstances here are entirely different, that is absolutely obscene BS, and he knows it.
What do you think about the that John Bolton, this is a feign, that he actually won't end up testifying?
Oh, well, he will testify if he is subpoenaed. Mm-hmm. And this is a trial. The object of a trial is to find out what the facts, the evidence, and the truth is, and then to determine what the response should be. That is the only reason you have a trial. And for somebody who is running the trial to say that you do not want one of the two key primary first-hand witnesses is obscene. That's like saying, okay, we're going to have a murder trial. There was somebody standing 10 feet away from the murder who has been afraid to come forward because he's afraid of the mob, but now he's decided he's going to come forward and he's willing to testify, and you're going to say, nope, you didn't testify to the grand jury, so I'm not going to let you testify now. That's absurd. It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. And okay. And it is completely against the constitutional design.
First of all, I mean, using the analogy of a mob in a murder trial, that's I think interesting here that you choose that. But second of all here...
No. I didn't mean to compare anybody to the mob.
You didn't mean a mob of Trump supporters?
Why somebody might not have come forward.
Okay. Second part of this is, if we had... Let's go back to this trial scenario. And if we felt like there was a kangaroo court in a grand jury setting, right, that it was a miscarriage of justice that found the reason to put somebody on trial, that it was this, it was not by their peers, and it was ramrodded through, and figure out what other cliche you want to throw in. And now we're gone to the, and this is a light interpretation of, legislative acting like the judicial, but we now go to trial. And you're somebody there that is overseeing this trial, and you realize what the other body did was, was a sham. So why are you going to honor that by going through a procedure in your body where you do have control that gives validity to the first move there?
Not how the system works.
But that's what you're talking about. This if a grand jury was run by some kind of clown court and had put somebody on trial for something that they you felt they didn't do, they were not guilty of or whatever, and you're running the trial,
That's what the entire system of appeals are for. That's what the Constitution is for, but that doesn't mean that
Don't you honor the thing that was wrong by giving it validity?
No. What you do is you have an inquest to find out whether it is wrong. That inquest is an appeal. You appeal to the higher courts to decide whether or not there were problems in the grand jury.
So where's the appeal process here? Because there's not an appeal if they vote for removal.
You have a trial and you find out what the facts are.
Yes, but where would be, if we're going to stay with this analogy, where would the analog be? Where would the appeal process be if you have a vote to remove President Trump from office based on a lower body's decision that you find that is of question? There's no appeal.
But you are the very one who gets to decide whether the lower body acted improperly by hearing the evidence and voting yourself. And it takes two-thirds to convict, and it's convicted not on the basis of the grand jury, but you were voting to convict. It's actually the wrong word. You were voting to remove. Based on the trial evidence as presented in your trial. That is the safeguard.
Don't you give validity to the move that you disagree with by...
No, because how can you say that they have run a sham process unless you actually have a trial to find out whether or not their process was a sham? That is such errant nonsense.
What do you mean? No, you're spewing some errant nonsense, because if somebody sees something they don't think is valid and they continue that process, they are in a way giving validity and structure to what happened that put that in their lap in the first place.
No.
Yes.
No, because the constitutional system says that the House impeaches and the Senate tries. And if the House impeaches, the Senate should try. And the Senate, in its trial, that's how it determines whether or not what the House did is valid. You cannot just say off the top, without any evidence, without any trial, you can't say, oh, we don't like what they did. That itself is constitutionally invalid. That's like a trial judge saying, I don't like what this grand jury did. And so even though the system gives the grand jury the entire weight, the entire benefit of the doubt that they have made a valid presentation until I actually hear the challenge to it, that's like saying, I'm not going to hear the challenge to it. I'm just going to throw it out. That would never happen, cannot happen in a court of law.
Won't throw a case
That's
out?
That's not how it works.
You don't think a judge would throw a case out? It's happened before.
Judge will throw a case out. A judge will, based on lack of evidence, or clear error once the trial has started and he has seen whether or not there is there is something that merits throwing it out. Most of the time, what happens in a directed verdict is a judge will hear evidence, mm-hmm. and then before the jury actually votes, he will say, okay, I've heard enough, I'm going to dismiss it.
Right.
He doesn't dismiss it before it even starts. Evidence.
All right, well, there you go. So there's your take on it. So do you think Mitch McConnell will listen to you and others and start bringing in witnesses?
A trial without witnesses is like a football game without runs and passes. It's insane.
There we go. Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com. Of course, check out the trilogy. Man, tell folks who have not, what's going on in this trilogy?
The trilogy, it's satire. It's fiction. It is it's satire on modern media, politics, and religion, but it's a really good story about a young guy who literally nails religious theses to church doors, like Martin Luther did 500 years ago. But with this overnight instant celebrity culture of ours, suddenly he becomes an overnight sensation, and he's not ready for it, and it's about what happens after.
There you go. Author of novels, author of work over at the Washington Examiner all the time. Of course, you see it at quinnhillier.com, and a man not a fan of the NFL refs, right?
Certainly not a fan of the NFL league office and the NFL refereeing national office, and I think Roger Goodell is the worst commissioner I've ever seen in modern sports.
Let's put him down as undecided.
Yep.
There he is, Quinn Hillier. Thank you, man. Happy New Year. Coming right back. Grab your phone calls at 343-0106. 343-0106. People want to talk scooters. You want to talk Frontier Airlines leaving the downtown airport. And here we go. Pretty sad stat. We're on 6 days in. Today's the 7th. So 6 days in, the first murder of 2020 for the city of Mobile. Coming right back. Debuting a little Curtis Mayfield for Bump Music, because you kept talking about Auburn,
yeah.
And they're moving on up in the rankings, and all I could think about was the awesome legacy of Curtis Mayfield. Man. Good stuff. You could just listen to this for the next half hour. This is the extended version. It's like 9 minutes.
And I thank you for getting this song stuck in my head. So much better than, most songs that you can get stuck in.
That's right. You can't go wrong when you got some Curtis Mayfield stuck in your head. All right, to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106, and David in Mobile. First up, hey, David.
Hey, Sean. First of all, Quinn is not accurate when he was talking about the judicial system. Judges throw out cases all the time before it even goes to trial if they find that there was misconduct or things weren't done according to the rules or the procedures in the grand jury or in the police investigation before it even goes to trial, so even before witnesses are heard. So, like you said, if you think that there wasn't things weren't done properly, you can always appeal. Where there's no appeal process beyond the Senate. If
that's
the Senate votes to remove,
that's what I said.
That's it.
Yeah, there's that analog doesn't stick to that point. I mean, but to turn it around, because I can't leave anything be, the argument Quinn makes, if you are going to conduct a trial and you're going to have no witnesses in the trial, then are you really having a trial?
As long as evidence is presented, yeah, you're having a trial, because you got to understand the way the witnesses in a trial in a court proceeding are there to introduce evidence. They're not and testimony. They're not there to
but produce their testimony.
Evidence.
Right. There's no way to get testimony without a witness.
Exactly. But you can introduce evidence without necessarily having a witness in this case, because we also have to remember this is not your traditional court proceeding. This is where the court can make their own rules, because the Senate is the court in this case. They can make their own rules. They say we're going to introduce evidence without testimony.
All right. I tell you what, we're probably going to hold you over, because I see here you want to talk about, and I know you're into talking about airlines out of Mobile, and specifically the planes as well. Could you hang on here?
Sure.
And come right back, because I get David's take on this and see what he says here on the announcement yesterday that caused me to throw. If you would like to hear a conniption fit, because it's very rare I have one, but I had a conniption fit at the end of Midday Mobile yesterday. You go to our podcast page and go Midday Mobile, hour number 2. At the end of that hour, you'll hear the conniption fit. I was not pleased with the announcement that Frontier is leaving. I'll get your take and David's take when we return.
836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning.
So, getting some new vehicles for the lot there. McConnell, tell us what you're doing this morning.
Yeah, I'm sitting here on the line buying a few cars down in Orlando. They should be here probably one day end of the week, as long as the weather don't help. You know, hurt anything, but we got some great incentives going on with the GM products. Got that new 2020 three-quarter ton. In fact, I'm driving one now, and it drives like a dream. It's got cameras everywhere. You turn the blinkers on, and the camera comes out and looks to see what cars are right behind you. I mean, it's just, it's got great technology. Like I said, rebates are great. Got a great inventory of used cars. We'll give you top dollar for your trade. Just check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
And you'll buy vehicles from customers also?
Yes, sir. Just give Gene or I a call and give us the VIN and the miles, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You can go see him at McConnell Automotive today. You'll find him on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 837. We return to David's phone call, and Lee's line open, too, at 343-0106, 343-0106. So, David, don't tell me you knew this was coming, that Frontier was going to make...
I did not know this was coming. As a matter of fact, you broke the news to me on this yesterday. And I mean, I'm disappointed and I'm surprised, but I'm not really shocked. And here's the three things I think led to the decision by Frontier to move out of Mobile. It's first, their fleet size. They only have right now about 100 planes in their fleet, which, you know, seems like a lot, but and it's comparable to the other low cost carriers in the industry. But if you compare it to, say, like Southwest, who has almost 800 planes in their fleet, it's still kind of small.
Okay.
And the second factor was that opportunities in bigger markets became available that they did not expect to come available, like Los Angeles and New York. If you remember correctly, back in October, I believe it was, Southwest actually announced that they were consolidating all of their New York operations in LaGuardia, which opened up space in Newark, New Jersey's airport, which is right across the river from New York, for Frontier and other airlines to move in and pick up the slack. So they had some opportunities in bigger markets where they could generate more revenue that they didn't expect was going to become available. So they had to move their 100 planes around to where they can maximize their revenues and then their profits. And then the third thing is this: while the planes flying in and out of Mobile were full, because I mean the plane loads were right along with what they were expecting and industry averages in and out of Mobile, the problem is they weren't generating the higher the higher ticket prices. And here's why: because their service is subpar. Like, for example, in 2019, the year that just ended, they were the ninth best on-time arrival rating, and that's like out of 12 or 13 airlines. Compare that to their direct competitor, Spirit, who was the fourth best, and in 2018, Spirit was actually the best on-time arrival. So so that's not a fluke on Spirit's part.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I just want to run through this because, I mean, a couple things. Number one, out of the complaints, I never heard anybody talk about the on-time arrival for Frontier being an issue for them. Maybe there were people out there, but I didn't hear that. I agree with you that obviously the planes were full, and maybe they would have moved the rates up. But, okay, the idea that they only have so much infrastructure being planes and they had to move it to where they could make more money. I heard that yesterday. Believe me, after I threw my conniption fit, I made a lot of calls. I made two calls. Two calls to people in the know. And first of all, they said, you know, there was because in part of the press release or something, they're talking about the lack of revenue or lack of ridership or something like that. That's baloney. Okay. Second of all, somebody said, well, here's what happened with the Boeing, you know, with Boeing's issues and that shutdown that has affected Southwest. It's left, like you said, market share open for Frontier to go in with their Airbuses to other markets. Well, if it was all big money and going to these other markets, why is part of the announcement that they're going to start flying out of Huntsville now to Denver? You're telling me that they're going to have any kind of different outcome other than full planes in Huntsville? Why is Huntsville better? I mean, they took our dang baseball team, now they take our low-cost carrier.
Well, they're adding a route in Huntsville because they already fly into and out of Huntsville.
But they're taking
Orlando.
It away from here.
Also, you got to realize that Huntsville is a growing market. They're growing faster
than Mobile. I realize all kind of stuff. But Mobile can be. I mean, Frontier, if they were, how could you be any more than full? You see what I'm saying? I mean, like, how would they do better for keeping those flights, those meat and seats, better out of Huntsville than they can Mobile?
Well, it also has to do with their route schedule because, you know, Frontier does, and all the low-cost carriers do this. They don't have a hub-and-spoke system right. Like Delta and American do, where they fly in and out of destinations to their hubs, and then you connect to another flight.
Sure, they put cities together.
That plane that flies into Huntsville from Denver may go to Orlando, and then from Orlando may go to New York or D.C., there may go to Chicago. Mm-hmm. That plane's going to be all over the country in that one day, and they may have added that route because they, number one, they think they can make money off of it, and number two, they may need that route so that they can better do flight planning for that particular plane.
Ladies and gentlemen,
to fly that route.
David, an apologist.
I'm not apologist. I'm not
Frontier Airline apologist.
Because along with being the ninth best on time arrival, Frontier is also the airline that is most likely to cancel your flight, because of whatever reason. You know, so in 2019 as well. So they had some issues, and when you have that kind of service, the only way you can fill your planes is if you offer those deep discounts on flights, which hurts your revenue.
And I appreciate the call, and thank you, David, for your take on that. Listen. Here's the thing, everything's anecdotal, you know, and so I can only work off the fact our flights were on time and it came in. But yeah, I mean, for somebody else, it may be different. I am bummed out. Number one, we have an $8 million facility mm-hmm. for the downtown airport that's empty.
Right.
And then just self-serving. I really was excited because number one, and a lot of people are taking advantage of going to Chicago. That's not as much my thing as Denver. And also for us, not just going to Colorado, but once you got to Denver, you could get such good fares. Like I was looking for next year flying into Fairbanks, Alaska. And the ticket trying to come from Mobile to get to Fairbanks, Alaska takes forever and it's a good jillion dollars. You get to Denver and connect out of Denver, and it was like $464 round trip out of to Fairbanks and back.
A good little discount. Now, I didn't have any plans. I haven't flown Frontier, didn't have any immediate plans.
Well, you missed out.
But it feels personal. Anytime a business leaves Mobile, yep. I don't know why I take it personally.
Because you're a homeboy, man.
It's like
man.
A breakup almost.
Yeah, I appreciate your feeling on that. And now what's next for the Mobile downtown airport? We'll keep that conversation going. I'm trying to get some people that are really in the know on the show in the next couple days to talk about it. All right, 844. We'll be right back. Hey, thank you, Kane. 848 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Boardings. Phone number 343-0106. 343-0106. Also works for a text. By the way, the online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So, basically, did you or would you fly out of the downtown airport on Frontier? Because right now, with the announcement of their departure,
nice.
There won't be anybody. Have you flown or were you planning to fly out of Mobile's downtown airport? 56% of y'all say yes. 44% say no. You can vote online, front page of fmtalk1065.com. All right, let me give you a heads up here. Something for the new year you need to do is add more time back to your very clean home. Well, how do you do that? Well, do what we did and work with the maids. The maids they're coming tomorrow to our house. It's a celebration as the maids are showing back up and give you a clean house and give you the extra time. So the time you spend now doing all that cleaning at the house, you could get back in your life. And what a gift that is. And you can breathe easy when you use the maids. Get this, at this time of year when the houses are closed up and stuffy and people have allergies and all, okay, the maids' professional vacuums, they use these vacuums with HEPA filtration that capture 99% of all the dust in your home, allergens, bacteria, pollen, pet dander, other pollutants, and they come in there, and they, it's really cool because it looks like Ghostbusters because they have these backpack vacuums. They use a 5-stage HEPA filtration system that helps reduce colds, allergic reactions, and asthma attacks. It makes a big difference, too. You can smell the clean when you get into your home after the maids get finished baking it. Very clean and giving you time back in your life. And you can get a free estimate right now when you call 344-6626. 344-6626. These are the people that clean our house. They are great. Shelby and the team are fantastic. What's up, Shelby? Give them a call. 344-6626. Get that free estimate now. See what they can do for you. All right, to the phones. And let's go to Ricky in Mobile. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Hey, good, man. So have you flown out of the downtown airport? Did you do the Frontier thing?
I think I heard about it a little late. It sounded like a really good deal. And
it was great.
If I had time to plan a trip, I would have done it.
It was great. I tell you, we did it back in July, August, and I mean, I flew the entire Sullivan clan, four of us out there, for like $1,100 round trip to Denver and back, and we had to do the upgrades and everything. It was still $1,100. That's like what one ticket on Delta cost.
Yeah, I'd have done it. I'd have done it if I just had a little more time. But, you know, I was going to compare the airline leaving Mobile to something else. But just imagine if that airline was a life safety, you know, property saving device, and it just up and left. And y'all take offense to that. It feels bad, don't it?
Yeah. So
right? Okay.
Where's the analogy going?
Okay, you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah, I'm letting you do
but,
it.
But y'all try to justify that whole issue with the jurisdictional pullback and pulling all the services out. But
okay,
you know. Then the city council don't even want them. So just imagine that Frontier airline saying, we don't even want y'all. Y'all are stepkids. You know, the paper had a drawing of Stanley Stimson and like a real trashy-looking lady smoking a cigarette calling it Westmobile. You know?
Is that J.D. Crow's thing?
I tell you what, Mobile wants to grow. Look out west, because there's subdivisions going up all
sure.
the time.
And there's people that want to annex in, but there's people in the city council that aren't even letting y'all have the vote.
And I really hope people turn their head to them, lock the city of Mobile down like Huntsville or Birmingham, whatever it is, and say, shame on you for doing what, treating them folks out there. It don't affect me, Sean. I see it going on, and it irritates me to no end. And just think about how you feel just a little bit about this airline doing
uh-huh.
that. That ain't even nothing compared to what the city's doing to them.
There's the analogy, Rick.
A little mad about it.
Well, Ricky, I appreciate the analogy. I don't know that I see it as a direct analogy, because you have a situation where the airline is making a private business, making a decision. I'm bothered by that decision versus a situation where yeah, the city of Mobile. And Ricky, let me talk about what's going on here. This is what can't be said on TV news, okay? What's happening here with the ordinance proposal from Councilman Joel Days that unless something major changes, won't be voted through, but it's going to show some hypocrisy on the part of Councilman Richardson, Manzi, and Small, who had before lamented it, talked about, oh, well, we shouldn't be spending all that money outside the city. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They said all that. So now they're, okay, here you go, guys. Here's a way to pull the city back from it. So how are you going to vote? This is all based off of, this is more of the proxy war based around, number one, the breakdown between members of the council, you know, and the supermajority. It's also a proxy battle for the annexation vote. I mean, this is what it is. I guess if I was more polite, I wouldn't say that. But that's what this is. And so, Ricky, you know, those folks in the area of West Mobile are the civilians in this battle to some degree, not given the right to even vote to come in the city. And now the next salvo is, hey, okay, you don't want to do that. You complained during the annexation discussion that we're spending all this money on all these people, and you don't want to spend money on those. You want to keep it here. Remember, we got to grow up and not out and do all that stuff. So here you go. Vote on this.
So you don't think, will they hold the vote for the pulling back the police jurisdiction, or will they vote and just not vote it through?
They'll have a. They tabled it last week. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's on the docket today. We need to check that. I didn't know if they table, because sometimes they table week to week. Sometimes they table longer. They'll say, "Hey, we need to." And I imagine they're going to have some, you know, finance meetings and all that around it. So I don't know. There may be one of the members of the council or somebody associated with it could text us at 343-0106 and let us know. But it's a vote that I think will come up. And will it just go down? You think, okay, well, go down the same lines as the last one? Maybe not, if they have the vote, because do they realize the hypocrisy of this?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's being set up here. This is political moves here. Not that it's not a worthwhile discussion. I had State Senator Chris Elliott on the midday show yesterday talking. He's pushing a bill again that would relinquish. And I'm still, you know, I'm sitting here in this discussion. I've had two people that are elected officials, one from the House and one from the Senate, tell me their interpretation of the Alabama Constitution and the requirement for police jurisdictions, and they're contrary to each other.
Hmm.
Okay. Some will say the requirement doesn't even exist right now. Some people say it does, but this will clarify it. It's been in effect since 1947 for Mobile. You know, we're one of like three states in the union that have this. And out of the state of Alabama, not all municipalities are doing this. So that's part of the setup. But yeah, the political question here is, if you are Councilman Richardson, Vanzi, or Small, and you said, okay, we don't want to vote to let these people, we don't want to vote for the right of referendum for these people, the 13,000, to annex in, to vote. No for sure thing. You're just saying, hey, y'all have the right to vote. We're going to let you vote to annex in the city. For them to say that they didn't like the idea that we'd be spending money that should be spent in the city, we're spending money outside the city. That's what they said.
Right.
So right now, they're looking at an ordinance that says, okay,
if that's, you don't want the hay that, down the, then this is what we'll do.
That's right. Putting the hay down there where the horses can get after it, right? If you don't want to spend money outside the city, then let's just go ahead and let's not use it as a political dividing point. Let's just stop it. Mm-hmm. Let's stop it entirely. And I think that, Ricky and others, I think that's what's going on, in my humble opinion. And I think we'll see how that plays out. Will there be very hypocritical votes, or will somebody turn around on this and will they say, okay, that's right, we want to pull back from the PJ because we want to spend more money in other parts of the city? Remember, right now the city is, and fair argument, because you heard it made by Councilman Joel Daves on the other side of this, the city is losing money in this PJ. Although, I'll say on Councilman Daves' ordinance, if they are going to make this ordinance something that would come up for a real vote, you've got, if you're going to remove the PJ over 2 years, you're going to remove the police jurisdiction and doing anything out there, you will have to remove, you can't have any tax out there, City of Mobile. If you're not going to provide police, fire, those kind of things, then you can't have half sales tax, you can't have business license tax, you need to go zero tax, or it's not a fair argument, and I'll side against you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And with the frontier discussion that we were having, that Ricky led his analogy from, John Sharp tweeting, listening to your conversation with David, he said, it sounded alarmingly familiar to the exodus of the cruise industry a few years ago, which he notes fortunately has returned. But it does seem like we were having that conversation when the cruise industry left, just it's not that long ago.
And a lot of truth to that. And there's a danger there. While I'm excited about the downtown airport, but there's a danger there. Okay, two things. The Mobile downtown airport, $8 million, I think John Sharp says in the story, $8 million facility. You got to have planes flying in and out, paying fees to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
When we built the cruise ship parking deck, we're not in a strong place in a negotiation, because we've got this thing that we need to have somebody in, right?
Right.
And we don't have somebody in there. So you come into a negotiation from a place of weakness, because they know you need them more than they need you.
You're building a stadium without a team.
Bingo. There you go. 8:58. We'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. Vote online in the opinion poll front page of FMTalk1065.com. Have you flown, or were you planning to fly out of Mobile's downtown airport? Let us know what you think, and we'll tally the votes and talk about them at noon.